Here are the top stories right now.
A two-week global protest to bring attention to climate change that started this weekend in Europe has now hit Toronto this morning. The Bloor Street Viaduct now blocked off to traffic.
Environmental activists have shut down the Bloor Viaduct, calling on governments to take action on climate change. They say they will stay as long as police let them. There is no traffic getting through right now on Bloor between Castle Frank and Broadview.
And the climate change protest continues. Bloor Viaduct remains closed both ways between Broadview and Castle Frank.
Don't forget, Danforth from Castle Frank to Broadview is still shut down. That's all because of protesters.
A climate action protest continues on the Bloor Viaduct this hour. Extinction Rebellion says they want to force governments to do more on climate change.
I'm a bit of a stickler for accuracy in reporting the news. I like to be able to understand what is happening and how and why. I like to think a listener has a good grasp of that based on the way I write and present news when I am on the radio. As a news consumer, I'm sometimes confused when what I think I am seeing suggests the story I am hearing is not quite right, and vice versa. So, while I make my case about the story reported on various radio stations in the bits you're hearing so far, I'll go a step further with some thoughts for reporters today on reporting what is really happening when covering a demonstration or a protest. I'm Paul Cross. This is Cross Talk, Media History, Commentary, and Analysis, Season 3, Episode 3. What's happening in the reporting in the audio montage at the start of this episode is certainly news. It seems that in the early days of October 2019, some sort of environmental action group with supporters in cities around the world coordinated plans to shut down the flow of traffic over important bridges in those cities. In the case of Toronto, as you hear in the audio, the bridge is the Bloor Viaduct. It's a bridge with four lanes for cars and trucks and two lanes for bicycles plus sidewalks stretching for about a kilometer over the Don River and Don Valley next to downtown Toronto. There are two sets of tracks for subway trains under the traffic surface of the bridge. We had known through the news since at least the previous Friday that this action was planned, and I'll come back to the idea of advance reporting about potential demonstrations in a moment. As the story goes, this group would block traffic on the bridge at 8 o'clock Monday morning, and this would somehow increase public awareness of the urgency of action on climate change, because apparently we're unaware. So, radio and TV reporters staked out the ends of the bridge to see what happens and to be ready to report. And sure enough, at about 8 o'clock, the few dozen people waiting at the east end of the bridge started walking out onto the road, at the crosswalk, after police put a police car on the street to prevent traffic from going any further toward the bridge. This is what I can see from watching live coverage on the 24-hour local TV news channel in Toronto. So I'm going to back up here. The story as I see it, the protesters did not shut down the bridge. They did not block traffic. Police did. Police closed the bridge so the protest could go ahead. If I'm a reporter at the scene, how do I report that? What do you remember hearing? I take it that about 4 hours after the police had stopped traffic and blocked off the bridge so the folks could occupy the bridge, the commanding officers must have decided that was enough and some protesters were arrested as police tried to get it all wrapped up. I'm not sure that merits a potential criminal record, doing something inside the zone that police had barricaded so the activity could happen, unless there was some obvious act of criminality being committed. And I wonder whether any reporter on the scene had any dilemma about how to report on that.
Now you can see the situation remains the same around me as the police have made a barrier around this side. I spoke to a number of the protesters a little while ago and they said that they were willing to be arrested if the Toronto police decided that's what they needed to do. The protesters had said that they had a right to be here to protest, and they say that if the police want to arrest them, that is exactly what will happen. Right now, the standoff continues. It's definitely...
But on to protests in general, and some thoughts about how and when they become newsworthy. I'm going to reach back in time again for another policy directive from the big, tough rock and roll radio newsroom at 1050 Chum. It seems to me we had some significant ethical stances there. They were important for the time and for the influence that radio station had. In the mid-80s, and I don't know how far back the practice went, we had a rule at Chum. We do not promote demonstrations. We don't report that someone plans to protest. If a demonstration or protest happens and seems newsworthy, then we will report on it. It's not our job to promote what might be an event with unlawful aspects. It's not our job to spread the word to help you recruit protesters. It's not news unless it's happening. And even then, one needs to apply news judgment. Is it having an impact? Is this of interest to the target listener? What is it really about? How much coverage does it merit? You'll understand, sometimes advanced news coverage about a planned protest appears to give it some other level of legitimacy or importance, and the publicity may attract people who otherwise might not have known. It's not the job of a newsroom to make that happen. Does news coverage of a demonstration have an impact on the event? I remember being at a news directors conference in 1992. I think we were in Kingston, about halfway between Toronto and Ottawa. The news director of a competing station came in quiet, urgent excitement to the meeting hall and tapped me on the shoulder, and my boss, and the news director of another competing Toronto radio station. Come outside! I've just got word the Rodney King protests over the acquittal of the police who beat him that started in Los Angeles are coming further. They're coming to Toronto after the weekend. Okay. If it happens, we'll cover it. Yes, it's been deadly and extreme in L.A. And it did come to Toronto, so we did cover it. I went there myself after my final newscast of the day. I wanted to relieve the reporter who was on the scene because I thought they sounded panicky. But what I discovered out on Yonge Street that evening is another aspect of the relationship between news coverage and protests. Have you heard anyone point this out before? The protesters filled Yonge Street for a few blocks. Thousands. North of the protesters was a line of news crews. Watch this. The crowd advances further north as the TV cameras advance north. I will rephrase that. The TV cameras are leading the protesters up Yonge Street. When the cameras move north, the gap in the street opens up and the protesters follow. 27 years later, reporters are telling me a bridge has been blocked by protesters. No, it has not. Protesters have moved out onto the bridge where police have shut down traffic so something could happen. The facts always matter. How reporters choose to report what they are experiencing, that matters too. This is Crosstalk. I'm Paul Cross. I study and I teach podcasting and radio.